Thank you so much, team. Love getting to worship with you. Absolutely awesome. Well, church, today I have a wonderful privilege to introduce you to a friend of mine. The Reichenberg family has been a family I've known for a lot of years. And Pastor Ben, his wife Aaron, and Victor and Carter are here today. And Pastor Ben, I've asked him to come and share with us today, because what I love to do is to invite people into our church, into our congregation, that can speak not only differently than me, but have different things that they've seen in the world, and frankly, have ways that they're better than me at. And one of the things I've seen about Ben over the years, I've gotten to watch him grow and watch how God has gifted him from being just a person in a church, to serving in a church, to being on staff at a church, to eventually planting a church. And God has just given Ben so many gifts, and I just love being in his presence. He's an absolutely amazing man. I think you're going to be blessed today as well. And so I want to invite you to give a very warm Cory Rock welcome to Pastor Ben Reichenberg. I want to invite you today. I think God's going to move today. I pray the Spirit is working in our hearts. I pray we're going to come out of here with something that we can apply in our lives, with a way that we can look more like Jesus today. And I hope we're coming expectant. Are we coming expectant for God to move today? Absolutely. And so if you would join me, if you're expecting God to move, you're inviting God to move in this place, would you reach your hand out towards Ben as we pray over him today? Father, thank you for the fact that your Spirit is here. Your Spirit has been moving and working in us. It's been in this place long before anyone even stepped foot in the building. So God, we just thank you for how you're working in our lives, how you're moving in our lives. And we pray that you just draw us closer and closer to you and help us look more and more like you today. And thank you for the fact that your Spirit's in Ben. And we just pray that his words wouldn't just be his words, but you'd speak through him. God, thank you for how you're moving, and thank you for how you're working in Ben. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I almost didn't want to get up. I just wanted you to keep talking nice things about me. I was nice. We could have just done an intro for like 45 minutes and wrapped it up. I'd have been all right with that. So, no, thank you, Tim. You know, we've been friends a long time, Tim and I. But I got to tell you, it almost didn't start that way. And I got to tell you a story. It was a few years ago. I know he looks nervous right now. He goes, "Oh, what are you going to say?" Well, it was our first fishing trip together. We went out to Twin Lakes down by Humboldt, right? And we're pulling plugs, and 5 minutes into this trip, Tim hooks up, right? He catches a little walleye. He was pumped about that. He says, here's my phone. Take a picture of me. And I, in my wisdom, I said, "Nah, we're going to catch 20 of that size of fish today. You'll probably catch something bigger. Let's not even bother with that." And so he throws it back. And guess how many fish we caught the rest of the day? Zip. None. So our friendship was rocky at that point. He didn't get his picture, but hey, you know, we managed to power through that one. So, well, good morning, everybody. Like Tim said, my name is Ben, and there's my wife, Erin, and Victor and Carter, the twin 14-year-olds. I'm officially the shortest in the house now. So that's great. That happened probably about a year ago, when I had to ask Carter to come get something off the top shelf, and whew, you wouldn't believe the way he looked at me. He was all proud of that. So sometimes I got to whoop around on him just to show that, you know, still got the dad strength and I'm still in charge, right? Right. Well, I have a question. I'm going to start with a question. Has anyone here ever felt unqualified or nervous or maybe even fearful? I haven't even got the question now. That's perfect. But when God has asked you to do something, anybody felt that way? Yeah, I know some of you have. What about maybe you've had a feeling of confusion, like you know God is asking you to do something, but it just doesn't make sense? Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty much been the story of my life the past 10 years. And I'd like to do something different today, if it's all right. I just kind of want to share my story and kind of the things that I've learned along the way. Are you guys okay with that? Good, because I didn't have a backup plan. If you all would have went, nope, had no backup plan at all. So let me start by just giving you a little background about me. I grew up in western Nebraska. Anyone ever heard of Hay Springs, Nebraska? Really? All right. That's like 500 people. So good, good. There's some Hay Springs. I guess they know of Hay Springs. Maybe I'll say that. But I grew up in a good home with a good family, but it wasn't a God family. I mean, it just wasn't a thing. I mean, we weren't anti-God or anti-church. It just wasn't a thing. So after graduating high school, I tried the college route, but I partied my way out of that one pretty quickly. Held a handful of different jobs. So how for the next 15 years or so? So check out this smorgasbord of jobs. So I worked for Burlington Northern Railroad. Right, I was a Schwann's man, bartender, car salesman, car sales manager, moved up there a little bit, and I had an 11-year run at the airport in security down in Sioux Falls. So you might recognize me from taking a water bottle a time or two, maybe. You're like, yeah, that's that guy. But on top of that, during that time, I'd gotten married, had two wonderful children, and I'd gotten a divorce. During this season of my life, things were all about me, what I wanted, what made me happy. I had no real sense of direction or purpose. I was just living day to day, and God really didn't have any spot in my life at all. Now, allow me to turn the page. When I was working at the airport in around 2012, I met my wife, Erin, who also worked at the airport. And what I like to say, and I believe this in my mind, was she saw my skills patting people down, and she says, I got to snatch that up. That's what I tell myself. And it's true, right? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that. Well, so I'm at the airport working, and I had a coworker, and his name was Ron Linville. And I learned that he didn't only work at the airport, but he also pastored a small church on the south side of Sioux Falls. And he persisted daily at work to invite me to his church over and over and over. And finally, I relented. I'm a nice guy. You know, I don't have God in my life, but I'm a nice guy, I think. It's like, yeah, fine, Ron, I'll go. I'll come to your church. So Erin and I walked into that apostolic church, which really looked more like a house from the outside. But when you got inside, it looked like a church. It had pews and a, I was going to say pulpit, but music stand maybe. But, and this was really my first church experience. I mean, I'd seen TV shows. I'd seen movies. You know, I kind of know what it should look like, I thought. Well, we sat down, and I see my friend Ron, and he's in a suit now, right? Not in a screening uniform from the airport. But he's up in front of the room, and he asked to pray, right? He kind of said, I'd like to pray. And so what I thought I would do is just put my hands together and mumble to myself. That's what I thought. But that was not the case. That was not the case at all. The room broke out and everyone was praying. And I mean loud. Like, it was loud. There was even some people got up and they were like moving around the room. I was so confused. That's not what I had envisioned. I mean, I just looked around and watched everybody pray. And to be honest, the first thought I had was, these people are nuts. Full disclosure, that's what I thought. But it was not long after that initial thought that I had that I thought, these people wouldn't be acting this way if they didn't truly believe in what they were doing. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't. And I felt after that this God thing was maybe worth looking into because of that. It was really my Revelation 3:20 moment, if you will. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. My curiosity had allowed me to open the door. And sure enough, here comes Jesus. Well, I'm going to pause here a moment in the story, and I don't know. That's the thing about coming here. I don't know anybody here, really, right? But I don't know where your relationship with Jesus is. I mean, I would venture to guess that there's probably some out here that have zero relationship with Jesus. But you could take it from me. Be curious. If that's you, just crack the door open. Just crack the door and just see what he's all about. I promise you, your life will be better for it. I promise that. So jumping back to my story, So here I am, 37-year-old fella, no knowledge whatsoever about Jesus or the Bible, and I got this new relationship with him, right? And I remember in those early days I told Aaron, I don't want to, if we're going to do this, let's do this. I don't want to just pop in for an hour on a Sunday and then just go about living my life how I was. I wasn't interested in that. And so away we went. We reading the Bible, attending Celebrate Church, attending a life group, and serving. And immediately I could sense something in me was changing. And I shouldn't be surprised, because it says so right in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That was the changing. Things I used to find important weren't so anymore. And it wasn't because of my own doing. I just didn't have the desire for it anymore. God just took that away. He was changing my heart. Have you ever heard, it's probably more in the older crowd, but you ever heard someone say, man, that boy's on fire for Jesus? Someone like that, on fire? I see a few hands going up. Yeah. Well, that was me. That was me in that time, right? I just couldn't get enough. Couldn't get enough. And that fire kept going for a couple of years pretty well. But then it started to cool a bit. Or so it seemed to me. Anybody ever been in that spot where you've been, it seems like, God's talking to you, the communication is open and you're walking in the Spirit, and then it just kind of cools off. It happens, yeah. Well, it was a bit alarming to me. It was during this time, though, that God spoke to me through a Bible verse for the first time, right? I'd fallen into a trap is where I was at. And the trap of comparison is what it was. It wasn't so much about my relationship with Jesus, my own walk with him, but it was more about looking around and being envious of others' relationship with him. It was a pretty common thing for me to say, why am I not there? How come I can't be doing this, I was comparing. And so how did God get me back on track? Well, I was spending 2 weeks helping out a small airport in Montana, and I mean small, like literally one flight a day, 3 passengers, right? So this left me with quite a bit of free time. Didn't take long to go through bags that quick. Well, sure there were things to see where I was at, but maybe only a couple hours worth, And so I spent a lot of time in the hotel and reading, watching TV, partying hard. No, pity partying hard. I wasn't partying hard. Pity party. Yeah, feeling bad for myself, looking at other people. Well, one morning I was getting ready, and I was in the shower while I had the Bible app playing in the background. And I was listening to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. It is here where God spoke to me through his word. And here it is. Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. That's just a fun word to say. Say Zerubbabel. You can't smile and not say that name. Yeah. I should go change my name to Zerubbabel. That'd be great. Well, I heard this verse, and I about fell jumping out of the shower. I had been reading Scripture for a couple of years up to this point, but this was different. This was for me in the very moment that I was in. God was just laying the groundwork in me. This faith walk is something that is being built. So wherever you're at on the spectrum of your faith walk, God rejoices in each step that you take. It's a process. And he was doing something. He was doing something in me that I couldn't even fathom would come to fruition a few years later. So armed with this new insight, right? I had this Bible verse. God gave it to me. I was back on track that quick. And God continued his building project. So I came back to Sioux Falls from Montana. I returned there, and God started preparing me for this next season. And at this time, my family and I, we were all serving in the children's ministry at Celebrate Church. I was serving in a role as room security. Now, I know the chuckle. If you go to the thesaurus and look up elementary room security, the first thing, it'd be like cat wrangler. would be like the next line. I mean, it's, security in the elementary room, yeah. Well, but to be honest, that's all I really felt comfortable in doing, right? I mean, let's face it, most of the children had a better understanding of Jesus and the Bible than I did. They really did, but that didn't stop God from moving in my life. I was asked to lead a small group of elementary students. From there, I was asked to lead a children's service. Then I was asked to join the curriculum team. If you don't know what that is, that's actually writing lessons that the teachers, the small group leader stuff would teach, right? And it wasn't just for Celebrate. Those lessons would go out to the church plants and stuff. So it actually turned into where I was leading that team at some point. And I have to tell you, each one of those steps, I felt like, we talked about at the beginning of the story and the question I asked. I felt unqualified. I felt fearful and I felt nervous. I could not understand why God would use me in this way. Could not. I mean, I'd only been following him a couple years. It's not that I didn't love God, because I did, but this part of my life, it was really all about trust and obedience. It became clear that none of this was about me. I'd lived my life a long time, everything about me. This was clear, this was not about me. It was all about him. See, God already has a purpose and a plan. He already has that. It was up for me to be obedient to him when he called me in whatever direction he chose. God also has a purpose and a plan for each person here, a specific purpose and a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a great promise, amen? Amen. That is. It's not about you. Plan's already laid out. Takes a lot of pressure off. In my mind, it does. I don't know if it does in yours. It's like, yep, plan's already there. I just got to do what you asked me to do. That's really what it comes down to. But it's at this point in the story that God really kicked his plan into high gear. So in 2017, I joined the staff at Celebrate Church as children's pastor. I was there for about 5 years, and during that time, God grew and prepared me for the next step that he had planned for me and my family. And it's here that I want to change directions a bit. So I've lived in the Riverside neighborhood in Sioux Falls for about 12 years, my family and I. Now, if you're not familiar, if you were to go out and go south of town here, right, about 20 miles south, you'll see the Smithfield plant. When you get to Sioux Falls, if you hung a left, you're in Riverside. It's about 260 houses in the Riverside community. Well, we've lived there for about 12 years, and our house is right smack dab in the middle of that neighborhood. Our house is sort of a hub for all the neighborhood kids. It is not uncommon for us to be returning from somewhere, and there are kids sitting on our steps. I mean, and sometimes neighbors would tell us they've been there for hours, or they sit on the curb in front. Erin and I often laugh because when we'd see this, she'd say, most of our friends are like 8 years old. True. I mean, that's who we hung out with the most part. But then Erin said something that was simple yet very profound. She said they just want to be seen. And that's what we do. We see them. We call them by name. We have them, you know, there's still rules to our house. They don't have free run of the house or anything like that. But you know what? They don't want to be entertained. We just sit on the deck many nights and they just show up. And they just show up and just talk. You know, one of the best things you could do for a kid to get their attention is comment on their shoes and say, I bet those jump really high. And they will jump. They will jump. And then you could say, I think they'll run really fast too. So that's a good in for you to visit with a kid. So actually, looking at those shoes there, I bet they jump really. No, okay. I won't do that. I won't test that theory here. But so God, after that, Erin had said that, and God put this thought in our mind. If God is sending us these children, we should be teaching them about Jesus. That sounds like, when I say it out loud, that sounds like, oh, of course. You know, you big dummy, you're a children's pastor. You ought to know that. But, you know, whether we care to admit it or not, sometimes we come in here and we're a little bit different than when we're at home. Is that fair to say? Yeah. Not all the time, but sometimes. But so we prayed and we planned and we started a home children's ministry. Riverside Kids. That's what it was called. We invited kids into our home once a week for a Bible lesson, activity, and snacks. Maybe wrapped it up in about 40 minutes. It was a pretty simple thing. But we would still see children all throughout the week. But Monday was specifically set aside for learning about Jesus. And they knew that. And God honored and blessed this ministry. He continued to add to our numbers. There's a fun side story here. A fun side story to the story? Yeah, maybe. I don't know what you'd call that. But we'll call it a side story. So one evening we had 18 kids in our house. Now, we don't have a big house, right? And so, I mean, there's kids sitting on the kitchen counters. There's kids on the table. It was obvious to me we needed more room. And so it was the next day I had this epiphany. And I asked Erin, I said, you know what? You've been working hard. Why don't you go up and take a nap? So she goes upstairs and she takes a nap. And that's when I bust out the Sawzall. And I cut our couch in half so I could fit it out the door because we had replaced the deck door. Now it didn't fit out. So I had to cut it in half to make more room. Now we can set up folding chairs all over. So if there are any ladies and kids in here who are looking for a last-minute gift idea, may I tell you, Sawzall and give permission for Dad to cut something in half. I mean, that is manly. That is a good feeling. I was so proud. There was sawdust everywhere. Yep. Well, yeah, that's just an amazing. So back to the story. Yeah, I won't even go any more into that. That's a whole other story, a mountain story. So back to the original story. So in short time, God kept adding to our numbers, and so we had to separate Riverside Kids into two groups. So because it was pretty common, we'd have somebody in kindergarten and somebody in 11th grade. Those teach very different, very, very different. So we split it up. We had Riverside Kids on Monday nights for the younger kids and Riverside Youth on Wednesday nights for the older ones. It was quite a time in our lives. So my wife was working full-time. I was working full-time at Celebrate. We had a flourishing home ministry. I think we sprinkled some college in there, too. I mean, it was busy. It was busy. But it was during this time, however, that God put something on my heart that would really challenge me. I started seeing people in the Riverside neighborhood in a different way. Not just children, but adults. I recognized what the Spirit was leading me to pretty quickly. He wanted me to plant a church in our neighborhood. And to be totally transparent here, I wanted nothing to do with that. I mean, I was a part of a great children's ministry. At Celebrate, it was growing. We had an awesome home ministry. I found great joy in what I was doing. I mean, I love children. That's what I did. I was like, no. I wrestled with God on that one. And it went on for about 4 months. Here's the thing. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what God was calling me to do. I knew it. I just didn't want to do it. I mean, I'll call it what it was. I mean, I was being disobedient. And this grew to be very heavy. I didn't realize at the time, but it was. I had to make a decision, and tell you what, if you ever have a decision, and John points out, God points out John 15, yeah, check this out. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and I will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me." That's a verse that will have you make decisions and it'll just be a gut punch. It's like, ooh, am I obeying? Well, I say I love God, but this says if I don't obey, I don't. That's pretty straightforward, right? That's pretty straightforward. So it was about 2 years ago, and I was praying in my quiet time in the evening, and I said yes to God's new calling. I just said, yes, I'm sorry. I had to repent. God, I'm sorry for 4 months of not. And tell you what, I've experienced God's peace a handful of times in my life. But the morning after I prayed that prayer and said yes to God, I felt God's peace like I had never before. I just hadn't realized how heavy the weight of disobedience had become. It just crept in. It was just like a weight lifted off my shoulders. So for me, I heard this. I felt God's peace. Things are settled, right? But now I got to tell my wife, right? And so in my mind, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm leaving my job and planning a church. Well, I had to tell my wife and kids, and I was a bit worried about how that would go. Do you know what she said? She said, I would rather lose everything we have following God than get down the road and wonder what if. That's a godly woman there. That is a godly woman. So much like the decision to follow Jesus, we're going to completely trust and go all in with both feet. I left my position at Celebrate and started down the road of planning Riverside Church. The church officially launched on Christmas Day of 2022. So we've been around for about a year and a half. And God has really done some amazing things in that time. And he continues to build the church that he has purpose and plan for that neighborhood. He's doing it through us and now other people that he's brought along. I mean, this is his church. It's his plan. We just have to be obedient. But here's kind of a quick snapshot, even just this past year and a half, of what God has done. We've had 9 baptisms, 7 first-time commitments, a number of recommitments. This one wasn't on my bingo card when I started. We've been a part of 5 funerals, right? But, people need God when they're hurting in that point, right? Yeah, never saw that one coming. And I could go on for hours, guys. I've got story after story after story of the people that are attending Riverside Church and how they're growing to love Jesus and then they turn around and love like Jesus. That's our vision and mission there. Our vision is to love Jesus. Our mission is to love like Jesus. And we really keep it that simple. If we get those simple things right, I think that'll cover a multitude of what we need to do. Let's just love. So that's about the last story, the past 10 years of my life, right? Now, you may be thinking, I'm sure I see it in your face, Ben, cute story, but what does that have to do with me? All right, well, here it is. If you take away only 2 things from my story, here is what I would hope that they would be. Number one, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? He has a purpose and a plan. We can all agree on that. I think we've all agreed on that, right? And I know that purpose and plan, it revolves around Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And we've all heard this. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these 2 commandments. So there's the plan and purpose. Here's a caveat to that, though. So you love God, love neighbors, but God has a plan for how you are to love your neighbors, right? Because I could have told you before Riverside Church was ever planted that, oh, yeah, I need to love God, love my neighbors. But the how is where it comes down to, will you listen? Will you trust? And will you obey when that happens? Does that make sense? The how. It's the how. Here's number 2. Will you love your neighbors? Sounds simple. For my family, it started with kids in the neighborhood. The truth is, we all have people that God has placed around us. And it's going to look different for all of us, loving our neighbors. There's a story in the book of Mark that tells us about Jesus healing a demon-possessed man. And the man is grateful. He's like, thank you, Jesus, and he begs to follow him. But listen to what Jesus tells him in Mark 5:19. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Can you imagine that? No. Jesus goes, nah, you can't follow me. Go over here. Go home. Go home. The word family in this verse, in the Greek, it's oikos, is the word. It can refer to a household, but it also refers to those around you, those in your sphere of influence. If you will, the people that God has placed around you. Now, when we say yes to God's calling and love our neighbors, that's when we see the kingdom grow. You see, we're all brothers and sisters in the same kingdom. We're all together here. I'm as much a part of you as you are a part of me, right? We're just in different spots. We're in different rooms in the house, if you will. But we all work together to grow that kingdom. But to do that, we all need to take spiritual responsibility, if you will, for those around us. It's a calling. It's a step up. Our oikos, who is around us? Because I can promise you this, as your brother up here, that we'll continue to be obedient to God and follow his lead in the Riverside neighborhood. I will promise you that. We will continue to do that. Will you be obedient to where God is calling you to do in yours? Because it's really relying on one another. Because if you are, the kingdom of God will continue to grow. Take care of the people right around you. Will you love your neighbors? It's a simple question. Let me pray for you, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, would you give courage to those who maybe hear you calling? Maybe they've put their hand up and they're like, I don't want to do that. I've got things really good right now, but they maybe know that they know what they need to do, and it takes courage. God, would you stoke the fire in them just to make that next step? Because, Father, we know that you desire for your kingdom to grow, and it's going to take all of us. It's not one person that stands up and talks. It's all of us in our oikos, those around us. So, Father, really, I pray courage. So, Father, we give you thanks. We love you and we praise you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.